14 and verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way that seems right unto man, the end thereof are the ways of death. Not only is it the ways of physical death, for it is appointed unto every man once to die, and after this the judgment, but is also the spiritual death, or the second death that's mentioned in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter. And verse 14 and 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the way that seems right to man is the way to enter in these things that we just read. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the ways to miss heaven. First of all, trusting in being a member of a New Testament church or any other church is a way to miss heaven. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. There's no work that we can do or that even needs to be done, because Jesus did all the work that was necessary in order to obtain salvation and eternal life. So trusting in church membership, doing works even inside of a New Testament church, is not going to get one to heaven, but they're going to miss heaven if that's what they're trusting in. Trusting in doing the best that we can is not going to get one to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is by grace through faith. That not of ourselves. In other words, we ourselves cannot obtain salvation and eternal life. We ourselves cannot do anything that we can do, or there is nothing that we can do in order to make it to heaven. Those that are trusting in what we can do, they're doing good and being good, or they're good outweighing their bad when they stand before the Lord, it's not going to get them to heaven. Because listen, standing before the Lord is not where our eternal destiny is determined. It's determined in this life. Whether we go to heaven or hell is determined in this life. The judgment's too late. Nothing's going to change there, except those that are saved are going to find out what reward they might have in this life. And those that are lost at the white throne judgment are going to determine what the degree of punishment for them is in hell. Because the scripture plainly brings out, it'll be more tolerable for certain ones in hell than it will be for others. So there will be greater, and so the judgment is where those results are determined. The degree of punishment for those that are lost and in hell, and the rewards, whether or not one will receive them or they'll suffer loss and be saved yet so as by fire. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. He offers salvation freely to those who will receive it. To have a gift, you got to receive it. To have the gift of God, which is eternal life, you got to receive it. And you got to receive it with the heart, not with the head. You cannot acknowledge, just say, yeah, I believe it. I believe it. You got to know it. The difference between believing with the head or making up your mind or accepting something intellectually, The difference is, you know it with all of your heart. You know that it's true. You accept it totally and solely, and there's no moving you off of it. I know that Jesus dwells in my heart. I don't just think he does. I don't just believe he does. I know he does. Because I've had his spirit bear witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. I've been in the word of God, and I'll tell you what, the way the word affects me within, it's not intellectual, it's the heart. You see? It's a gift of God. Why one needs not work for a gift. Trusting in joining a civic organization or a club that does good for mankind, or church or religion that does good for mankind, is a way to miss heaven. Because doing good to mankind in this life is not the purpose that God has us here for. The purpose that he has us here for is to do good unto eternal things, is to do good in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. Now, the physical realm is included, but that's secondary. First of all, when we get run into a lost sinner or a heathen out here in the world, we should not be concerned with the physical things in their life, but we should be concerned with dealing with the spiritual things. Because man that doesn't have his life changed or cleaned up from the outside, it has to be from within. Your life didn't change when you got saved on the outside. But gradually, as you were growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, then your life changed. That the carnal things began to drop away. You lost your enjoyment of them. You lost being satisfied and content with them. And then you overcome these things in your life. From within, not outside. We don't need to get your hair cut. We don't, if you're a man wearing long hair, we don't need to preach that you shouldn't wear women's apparel and so forth and so on. We ought to preach them Jesus Christ and him crucified. We ought to confront them with the fact that they are spiritually dead and without hope except Jesus. Besides that, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" We should not become involved with this world and the ways of the world, the things of the world. Because the world will demand that we put it first. The carnal things demand to be first. Physical things demand to be first. But listen, the spiritual are what God says needs to come first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Bible says. Spiritual things are first. Physical come after. And every time, every case, we're not to be controlled by the world, the things of the world, and involved in doing worldly things, and think that that's going to count for us when we stand before the Lord. Again, when we stand before the Lord, it's too late. Destiny's already determined. It's determined in this life. And what determines it is what we do with Jesus Christ. That's why he said in John 3:18, "He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." And the belief must be in this life. There is no second chance beyond this life. Not as far as eternity is concerned or our eternal destiny. Trusting in riches, 1 Peter 1, verse 18. "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things." Wealth and power, prestige, all these things aren't going to give you anything. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We weren't redeemed by corruptible things. We were redeemed by the incorruptible. And what things were those? By the word of God, by Jesus Christ, by what he has done. Spiritual things. We're not redeemed by the things of this world or the things that we might do or not do. We're not redeemed by the power and prestige of riches. And by the way, riches is what keeps this world going. Every phase of our society is striving for wealth. It's all about the dollar. It's not about the human being and his need. It's not about eternity. It's all about here and now, and it's all about gaining wealth and the power that it brings. We're not redeemed by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, or a vain conversation received by tradition of our fathers. Trusting in the Ten Commandments or keeping the Ten Commandments is not going to get anyone to heaven. Doing good, being good. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was never given for man to keep the law. It was never given for him to live the law. It was given for him to make him realize there's a righteous standard of which he's fallen short. In other words, the law brings us to the place to where we realize that we're dead in trespasses and in sin and can understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and eternal life. It's the only way to life. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By keeping the law. No justification in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 8. Romans the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 7, verse number 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The law was given. The Bible says, to bring the knowledge of sin. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin, was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, this Apostle Paul, when he came to the age of accountability or the age where he knew the difference between good and evil and the law brought him that knowledge and confirmed that knowledge, then he says, sin revived and I died. In other words, until he came to that age, he was in a state of innocence like Adam and Eve. Not accountable for sin. But when he come to where he understood, to where he knew sin and the results and the consequences of sin, he understood the difference between good and evil. He says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He became accountable for his own sin. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Spiritually, he died. And then the commandment came. And then we know that he was made alive on the road to Damascus through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. There is the facts. Trusting in the Ten Commandments or keeping the Ten Commandments. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Trusting in good works won't get one to heaven. Who, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Trusting in good works. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It was given before the world began. You know, this salvation by grace through faith, not of works, to many in the world today, it's a new thing. It's a strange thing because it takes man out of it. But listen, God's always been in it. And it's always been salvation by grace through faith. It's always being made alive by accepting and trusting the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the death of Christ according to the scripture, the burial and resurrection of Christ according to the scripture. His death was because of our sin. His resurrection, his burial and resurrection was to make us alive once again. The understanding of that was revealed in the law. Good works, no one will be saved. No one will be converted. This was determined for the foundation of the world. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians the first chapter, verse number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, there was a counsel in eternity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, when they were determined and purposed the things that would be taken about in the world to come. He did not predetermine some would be saved and some would be lost, because he certainly says, whosoever will shall be saved. Whosoever will believe and trust in Jesus Christ shall be saved. Whosoever means everybody. It doesn't mean certain ones. It's not what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 1 here. He's talking about the fact that in the council halls of eternity, all of this was settled and determined, and therefore man has no right to deviate or to change it. That's why we're to abide by and go by the scripture, go by the word of God. And that is what will make us perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For God's word points lost men to Jesus Christ. And then after that they're saved, God's word directs them to scriptural baptism at the hands of a New Testament church. And after that, then it directs them to let the Lord add them to a New Testament church. And when they're added to that church, then they're there in order to give God glory. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And by the way, if the church gone out of existence, if it ever ceased to be, that couldn't be true. He couldn't get glory throughout all ages, world without end. But he said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And that proves and confirms that the church will continue and has continued and will continue until he comes back and takes her out. And from the faithful of his New Testament churches will he choose a bride who will dwell with him in that holy city, New Jerusalem. And so, obtaining that, good works will not help or bring one to attain that in their lives, even throughout all ages, world without end. Trusting in good works, that's the order of the day today. Either it's good works for salvation in Christianity today, or it's good works in order to stay saved. Neither one of those will accomplish what's desired. Because salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's the acceptable service to God. That's the acceptable purpose for God's people. And by the way, he says to the church, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And in doing that, we're dealing with the spiritual, not the physical. The physical is trusting in good works. That's all done by man. That's all accomplished by man. It's all accomplished by the flesh. But there's no value in those good works except in and through a New Testament church. And one can only be a part of that when they are willing to accept him by grace through faith and then follow him and then be a part of a New Testament church where he can get glory. Preacher, that's what you say. That's what Baptists say. Well, if they're saying that, they're saying the right thing. But it's not them that's saying it. It's God that's saying it, because we find it right here in his word. Right here. All right. Trusting in a later day or putting it off. We're good at procrastinating and putting things off. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Putting off, submitting, putting off, repenting, and by faith trusting Jesus. That is a danger of losing oneself for all of eternity. That's a danger of missing heaven. And making hell. And that's what is going to happen to those who are not willing to repent and trust Christ. It's dangerous to put it off because we don't know what a day may bring. We don't know whether we shall live or die tomorrow. We have no knowledge of the future. The Lord does, but we do not. And so we need to make today the time for salvation. And then, after all of these things, how to make sure of heaven. First of all, in Acts, the third chapter, verse number 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. The Bible says, repent, ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. How to make sure you're going to heaven? You got to repent of your sins. It takes repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter was confronted, his answer was repentance and faith for salvation. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. It's talking about being saved. When is your sins blotted out? As far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, when one repents and trusts Christ as their Savior. So, he's talking about the salvation of the soul. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So it takes repentance. And then it takes believing and trusting in Jesus. In John chapter 1. John, the first chapter, and verse number 12. The Bible says, which were born not of blood. Verse 12, that's verse 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have eternal life. So it takes repentance and faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of one's soul. It gives them the power to become the sons of God. They become the adopted sons of God. The means by which this is accomplished is Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's he saying here? If you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart, what? That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's he saying here? If you will repent and believe the gospel, what is that gospel? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ according to the scripture. If you'll repent and believe it, how? With the heart. Many acknowledge it with the head, but not the heart. You've got to have it in the heart. And listen, the only way to have it is for let him to implant it. Yeah. In other words, we're saved by the power of God. We have no part in that. The only thing that we can do is surrender, is to let him have full control and full charge. In other words, surrender your heart and soul into the care and keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing, acknowledging, and knowing deep down that he was God who came in the flesh, that he died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again for our justification. The heart. Listen, when people jump over here and say, for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, they're taking that verse out of context. Just calling on the name of the Lord is not going to get you saved. It's got to be with the heart. Got to be with the heart. That's almost lost today. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that calling is with the heart, one will be saved. If it's just with the head and just acknowledging, one will not be saved. And again, he's the one that must save. We can only be willing. We can only surrender and submit from the heart. And he then will save us. He will give us power to become the sons of God. Look at Acts chapter 2. 41 of 42 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." As many as received his word. When they received his word, what are they receiving? They're receiving the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're receiving Christ and confirmation that he was the sacrificial Lamb of God, that he was the anointed one, that he was God who came in the flesh to be the sacrifice to pay the penalty for man's sins. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." These "them" are the New Testament church, his church. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," that's the word of God, "and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers." You know, we had 30 or so people in services Wednesday night, didn't we? Yeah. And Brother Nathan had one of them and talked to him. He was a member of some Baptist church around here, right? And he said, "I'm going to start coming over here, and I'm going to bring a church over here, and we're going to learn what you guys have, and we're going to take it back over there," right? Yeah. You don't just move what we have around, brethren, and we need not to take it for granted. The office work and presence of the Holy Spirit, where two or three are gathered together in his name by his authority in New Testament church capacity, brother, there's a difference, and people outside can see that difference. But he's kind of like Simon, they want to buy it. You see the gift of the Holy Spirit there with Simon in the book of Acts? You don't buy it. There's a way you obtain it, and it must be according to the scripture. And by the way, that's what true New Testament churches demand, is the scripture. That's why in Timothy, Spirit through Paul said, that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the support of the truth, the support of the word of God. And that's the way. And brethren, listen, we have something that is not put on. We have something that you can't learn. We have something that was given to us by God. And we need to cherish it. And we need to continue in his word that we might retain it. Because a departure from the word of God we can lose it. There are many of the Lord's churches that sadly have modernized and changed, gone away from the word. Preachers read one verse of scripture when he said, "Preach the word." Preachers who preach themselves and not the word. Preaching isn't worth anything if it's not the word. There's the power of God. Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother?
In 381.
Invitation is open. If you're here, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Why don't you come, repent of your sins, and by faith trust him. If you're here, and you may be as 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 2 says, you may have believed in vain. If you haven't truly from the heart repented of your sins and by faith trusted Christ your Savior, you need to come and do it. And I don't care if you remember this church or some other church. Vain belief is not going to get you to heaven. It must be true. It must be pure. What shall we sing?
In 381.